From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Rahma. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting info, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on the frequency 3325 kHz, and website voanews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia sends first logistic aid batch for Turkey's quake victims. ASEAN discusses 2025 blueprint development for financial sector. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian government sent the first batch of humanitarian assistance for victims of the 7.7 magnitude earthquake that rattled Turkey, including 5 tons of logistical aid from the Halim Perdana Kusuma Air Base Jakarta on Saturday. Defense Minister Prabowo Subianto said at a press conference after the release of the assistance that Indonesia will also continue to send more medical aid that will be prepared by the Indonesian military and the health ministry. The minister stated that Indonesia will similarly send assistance for Syrian people also affected by the disaster. The Indonesian government will also deploy 105 emergency medical team personnel as well as medicines and field hospital equipment on February the 13th. The ASEAN Finance and Central Bank Deputies Meeting Working Group discussed development of ASEAN Blueprint 2025 that was reflected in various working committee agendas in the ASEAN financial sector in 2022 and 2023 work plan. Bank Indonesia Deputy Governor Dodi Budiwaluyo said in an official statement on Saturday that during its leadership in ASEAN, Indonesia will work with all members to review ASEAN's financial channels to ensure ASEAN's response to various changes and challenges. Indonesia's chairmanship in ASEAN 2023 is expected to encourage the bloc's active role, offer ideas and solutions to strengthen economic recovery, and make Southeast Asia as an engine of sustainable world growth. The Indonesian Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries is collaborating with Seychelles, a country in the Indian Ocean region, to broaden the scope of knowledge regarding blue carbon to support a blue economy. Head of the Maritime and Fisheries Research and Human Resources Agency, Inyoman Radiarte, said in a written statement on Saturday that the collaboration is also to emphasize the importance of sustainable management of marine and fishery resources. Radiarte remarked that for implementing this collaboration, the training on trainers on the Blue Economy program was held, attended by 700 participants in a hybrid manner. This activity is a series of collaboration between the ministry and the Seychelles that had been initiated since 2021. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. A U.S. fighter jet acting on the orders of Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau shot down an unidentified object over Canada on Saturday, February 11th, in a joint operation by the North American neighbors and the second such takedown in their skies since the dramatic downing of a suspected Chinese spy balloon a week ago. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said that he ordered the takedown of the object the latest of a series of mysterious air intrusions. The object had unlawfully entered Canadian airspace and posed a reasonable threat to the safety of civilian flight. Canadian Defense Minister Anita Anand told reporters later. Hours later, airspace over the western U.S. state of Montana was temporarily closed on Saturday evening after a radar anomaly was detected, but no object was found by fighter aircraft dispatched to investigate, NORAD said. World Health Organization WHO chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus arrived on Saturday, February 11, in Syria's quake-stricken city of Aleppo. The official news agency SANA reported the WHO chief arrived at Aleppo Airport to tour some hospitals and shelters with Syria's health minister and the governor of Aleppo. His visit came 5 days after a devastating 7.8 magnitude earthquake rocked Turkey and Syria, killing more than 24,000 people, including at least 3,553 in the war-torn Syria alone. Upon his arrival, Ghebreyesus said he was accompanying emergency medical supplies of around 37 metric tons. He added that the WHO would continue to provide emergency medical services and bring in more emergency supplies necessary for trauma management. Suffering under the worst heat wave in more than 6 decades, Argentina has issued health warnings to 9 southern and central provinces. The National Meteorological Service said Saturday, February 11, that this is the 8th heat wave to hit the country in the southern hemisphere summer, with temperature close to 40 degrees Celsius. Over the past decade, Argentina has never seen more than 4 or 5 such heat waves per season. Buenos Aires residents awoke Saturday to temperatures of 36 degrees Celsius with a predicted high of 38 degrees, which would be the highest in February in 61 years. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This week's spotlight is on National Press Day. President reminds foreign platform challenges to national media. President Joko Widodo attended the 2023 National Press Day commemoration peak at the multipurpose building of the North Sumatra Provincial Government Deli Serdang Regency last Thursday, February the 9th. In his remark, the president said, in the midst of the swift flow of information through various digital media platforms and social media, the role of the mainstream media is urgently needed to become an information purification house. In addition, the mainstream media must also play a role in presenting very wide information and voicing hope for the people. The president asked all parties, both central and regional government agencies, state-owned enterprises, private companies, to non-governmental organizations to support the existence of mainstream media. According to him, the mass media cannot work alone. In addition, President Joko Widodo also highlighted the challenge of flooding information from social media and other digital media, including foreign platforms. Generally, according to the president, this information is not edited or controlled by artificial intelligence. According to the president, digital giant algorithms tend to only prioritize the commercial side and will only push sensational content for pennies. The situation sacrifices the quality of content and authentic journalism in increasingly being lost. Another issue that is also under the spotlight of the head of state is the sustainability of the conventional media industry, which faces a tough challenges. According to the head of state, currently around 60% of advertising spending has been taken up by digital media, especially foreign platforms. The president said, the dominance of foreign platforms in taking advertising spending would make it even more difficult for domestic media. Another issue is domestic data sovereignty and security, which must be common concern. The president views data as new oil which price is infinite. The president also reminded all parties to be aware of the use of algorithms for the community. For this reason, he pushed
for the completion of two draft presidential regulations, namely the draft presidential decree on cooperation between digital platform companies and press companies to support quality journalism, and the draft presidential regulation on corporate responsibility of digital platforms to support quality journalism. That was this week's Spotlight.
I'll start today in history with February the 12th, 1961, Venera 1 launch. Venera 1, or also known as Sputnik 8, was the first spacecraft to fly past Venus. It was part of the Soviet Union's Venera program launched on February the 12th, 1961. Venera 1 flew past Venus on May the 19th, however, radio contact was lost before the flyby, so there is no data on when Venera 1 returned to Earth. Turning to February 12, 2002, Red Hand Day, observed for the first time. Red Hand Day is observed to draw world attention to the fate of child soldiers, namely children who are forced to serve as soldiers in wars and armed conflicts. This commemoration is held on February the 12th each year. In the armed conflicts of the last few decades, which took place in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Rwanda, Uganda, Sudan, Ivory Coast, Myanmar, the Philippines, Colombia, and Palestine, many children were involved as soldiers. Estimates for the number of children involved in armed conflicts worldwide have not changed in 2006 and 2009. Rehabilitation for the return of child soldiers to their place of origin is not available.
Red Hand Day was initiated in 2002 when the optional protocol on the involvement of children in armed conflict was pushed forward on February 12, 2002. This protocol was adopted by the UN General Assembly in May 2001 and is now signed by 100 member states. Today in history with February the 12th, 2009, Colgan Air Flight 3407 crash. Colgan Air Flight 3407 is a commercial aircraft serving Newark Liberty International Airport in New Jersey with Buffalo Niagara International Airport in New York, United States. On the February 12, 2009 flight after the last communication at 10:11 p.m. local time, the plane crashed over a house in the residential area of Clarence Center in Buffalo. The accident killed 50 people, including 45 passengers, 2 pilots, and 2 flight attendants. One resident in the house was also reported dead. The accident caused a massive fire that forced residents who lived in 20 houses in the vicinity to be evacuated. That was today in history.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners, whoever you are, who have sent their letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering their letters or emails. First, I would like to reply a letter from Michael Littner in Germany. He was listening to our programs in German through frequency 4750 kHz. In his letter, also enclosed 3 photographs and 2 postcards. Hello, Ms. Littner. Thank you for your reception report on our broadcast. Your letter will be replied by German section. Please be patient to wait for the reply. As appreciation, I will play a beautiful song special for you. Here is the song.
Gemar sekali kita bersilat lidah sejak langit gelap hingga kembali cerah. Oh, gemar sekali kita berbeda pandang, semula meradang terkadang kembali tenang. Oh,
berakhir bahagia.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz and website voinews.id. Today's edition will give information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on FIBA World Cup 2023 to have a big impact on Indonesia. Indonesia is one of the hosts for the World Basketball Championship FIBA or FIBA World Cup 2023 along with the Philippines and Japan. This event will be held from August the 25th to September the 10th. Although did not qualify as a participant, Indonesia proved its seriousness in hosting the 2023 FIBA World Cup by building an indoor multifunction stadium IMS in the Gelora Bung Karno area, Jakarta. FIBA Central Board Member Erick Thohir, who is also Indonesian Minister of State-Owned Enterprises, Tuesday said that the Indonesian government is very serious about preparing for the 2023 FIBA World Cup, one of which aims is to make Jakarta equal to cities in Southeast Asia and even the world. One form of seriousness is building a closed stadium with a capacity of more than 16,000 people, which has been carried out since 2021. In addition, apart from being a sports arena, the IMS building is a multifunctional arena, both for culture, festivals, music, and others. Erick Thohir also hopes that the existence of IMS will become a means of developing sports facilities and bringing out talented athletes in Indonesia, especially in basketball. Erick Thohir also said that holding the FIBA World Cup 2023 would also have a positive impact on the Indonesian tourism industry. As is known, the basketball players, especially from the United States and Canada, are athletes who have taken part in the NBA, the most popular basketball competition in the world. Erick Thohir assessed that the presence of famous players could attract foreign tourists to come and visit Indonesia. Apart from that, basketball fans in Indonesia will also be watching with enthusiasm to see the world-class game presented at IMS Jakarta. That was My Indonesia Sunday.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, now we will reply to an email from Rabi Sankar Bosu in Bengal, India. In his email, he proposed to write at least one article per month for Voice of Indonesia. Hello, Mr. Bosu. Thank you for your email and also happy World Radio Day greetings. World Radio Day is celebrated on February 13, 2023 and has the theme Radio and Peace. Our English program will present a special interview about World Radio Day. So keep listening to Voice of Indonesia at voinews.id or through frequency 3325 and 475 kHz. Well, Mr. Rabi Sankar Bosu, here is a beautiful song for you. Enjoy.
Kalau kau benar-benar sayang padaku, kalau kau benar-benar cinta, tak perlu kau katakan semua itu. Cukup tinggal laku. Sekarang apalah artinya cinta?
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz and website voinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we'll present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Taman Batu Tourist Park or Padalarang Stone Park is a limestone mountain area located at the top of Mount Pawon Giri Mulia, Gunung Masigit Village, West Java. This natural tourist spot at the height of the mountains in the West Bandung area was formerly known by the local community as Pasir Pawon. But with the increasing number of tourists visiting this spot, it is now better known as Padalarang Stone Park. In Taman Batu Tourist Park or Padalarang Stone Park, tourists can enjoy the sensation of a very exotic limestone panorama. Here, there are many beautiful spots, so you can take pictures as well as cultural and historical tours. Tourists will see clear and real historical evidence, such as various coral animal fossils found on the hill, proof that the location of this plateau was once a shallow sea area. By going through a long process, this area became rock, where the coral that used to live then gathered there and died to form limestone. Visitors can admire exotic limestone that stands naturally and has irregular shapes. Grass and natural wild plants found around the limestone rocks add to the beautiful scenery there. If the weather is sunny, enjoying the morning or evening sun from this place will be a wonderful experience. In addition, the blue color of the sky with its white clouds looks like it is above the green expanse of grass and trees and limestone, which is a beautiful sight to record. Visitors must be careful when heading to Mount Pawon, where the stone park is located, because you must pass through a footpath with steep sides and forest areas along 1.5 kilometers. Taman Batu Tourist Park or Padalarang Stone Park is dominated by rocks and not trees. Therefore, you have to prepare mentally and physically, especially readiness to withstand the hot sun. That was Indonesian Wonder today. We will meet again tomorrow with a different topic.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Before we end our segment, listeners' mailbag, I will read an email from Muhammad Akil Bashir in Pakistan, who always sends reception report. Thank you for your attention, Mr. Bashir. He also enclosed audio of our English programs, which was broadcast on February 7, 2023. It was so clear. Well, listener, wherever you are, before I sign out listeners' mailbag program, I will play a beautiful song special for you. Enjoy!
Ku telah menutup pintu hatiku untukmu. Sejak ku temukan dalam hatiku, tiada kamu. Kemana kamu pergi, ku tak tahu. Saat kau pulang kembali, pintu ku kunci. Jangan menunggu depan pintu hatiku. depan pintu hati. Jangan mengetuk dan memohon masuk. Jangan menangis depan pintu hati. Lukaku bukanlah tujuanmu. Kau bukan penghuni hati.
That was the third song of the day from Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we present you Miscellany.
Pasar Music Festival or Music Market Festival held at Gambir Expo Jakarta from February the 10th until 12th. Was an event created by local musicians and artists to present harmonious works and tones in a distinctive Indonesian style experience. Head of Marketing for Pasar Musik Festival, Jilan Isdihar, explained Pasar Musik Festival was a stage for curating the work of Indonesians with the mission of presenting music, art and culture to the public. Pasar Musik Festival, according to Jilan Isdihar, was founded in June 2022. The reason for its establishment was because they wanted to combine daily needs of residents, namely traditional or modern markets and music. Before Pasar Musik Festival, there were already three pre-events held. The first is the Music Market Performance, which was held at Bengkel Space in June 2022. Followed by Pasar Kaget or Sudden Market Volume 1 at the Zoo Cafe in September 2022. Then Pasar Kaget or Sudden Market Volume 2 at the UMM University Malang Dome in October 2022. The last was Pasar Kaget or Sudden Market Volume 3 at the East Parking Plaza Senayan in November 2022. Jilan explained Pasar Musik Festival's philosophy is to gather residents to experience at the same time to meet their daily needs in the market and music. The Music Market Festival features well-known Indonesian bands and musicians such as Dewa 19 featuring Firza, R.C. Widianto, Kahitna, Yofi and Nuno, Dewi Persik, Firza Bersari, Gigi, Kangen Band and many others. That was Miscellany.
Fancy. I never thought we could work it out. Look on so strong.
It all happened like magic. I'm intoxicated and now I'm home. Ooh, baby, you're the one I really want.
To the fall, do this one more time.
Let's go.
Of Indonesia.
VOI listener, today's edition of Music Corner presents a song from an Indonesian female singer, Yura Yunita. Yunita Rahman, better known as Yura Yunita, born on June 9, 1991, is a singer and songwriter. She has started enjoying fame since she joined The Voice Indonesia in 2013. In January 2023, Yura released her latest single titled Jalan Pulang. The song was released along with the lyric video, which was uploaded on Yura Yunita's YouTube channel. Jalan Pulang, or in English means Way Home, becomes the original soundtrack of a film entitled Jalan Yang Jauh, Jangan Lupa Pulang. In the process of writing the lyrics, Doni Maula and Marcella FP assisted Yura. According to Yura, the process of writing the lyrics was quite fast, and this song is considered to represent her personal experience. Well, listener, this is the song Jalan Pulang by Yura Yunita.
Jalan yang jauh, jangan lupa pulang. Pesan-pesan yang selalu saja terngiang. Ku terbang jauh ke fakta berbilang. Lewati awan dan angkasa tak berbayang. Cari mencari untuk mengisi langkung hampa yang ingin terobati. Teruslah jalan, terus berjalan, kaki mungilku yang terus menahan. Teruslah jalan, terus berjalan. Sebentar lagi ku akan sampai tujuan. Jalan yang jauh, jangan lupa. Thank you. terus berjalan. Sebentar lagi ku akan sampai tujuan. Lama ku nanti
of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Kau boleh acuhkan diriku dan anggap ku tak ada. Tapi takkan merubah perasaanku kepadamu. Ku yakin pasti suatu saat semua akan terjadi. Kau akan mencintaiku dan tak akan pernah melepasku.
Aku mau cintai kekuranganmu, selalu bersedia
Voice of Indonesia.
Dan berharap engkau kan jadi milikku, walau banyak yang bilang kau tak pantas untukku. Sayangku mohon jangan tolak cintaku, jiwa ragaku ini hanya untukmu. Aku rela berkorban demi cintamu itu. Biarlah orang berkata apa, hanya untukmu. Aku rela berkorban demi cintamu itu. Biarlah orang berkata apa, manusia tiada yang sempurna. Ku terima kau apa adanya.
Indonesia.
Terlalu sadis caramu menjadikan diriku pelampiasan cintamu agar dia kembali padamu tanpa peduli sakitnya aku. Tega nianya caramu menyingkirkan diriku.
VOI listener, thank you so much for listening to our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequency 3325 and 4750 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, our Instagram account at VOI_official. Don't forget to follow us on TikTok as well at VOI_official and our YouTube channel, VOI Official. So once again, thank you so much for listening to our English program. I'll see you in the next interesting edition of English program from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.